Hello, everyone, and welcome to this edition of Icing the Ticker. My name is Louis Pasculi, and I'm joined by my amazing panel of John McCooch and Ryan Johnston. We have a lot of fantasy football stuff to talk about today, but first, I want to ask you boys how you're doing.
You know, as a zero-time fantasy football champion, I am so ready to sit here and educate people about fantasy football. Now, it's always a great time to sit down and talk with you guys. I mean, this is just, our sports director, Joe Matthews, put together quite the trio today. But it's great. I'm ready to get going.
Yeah, you know, I'm right there with you, John. Last year, I finished third to last in my league, so I feel more than qualified to tell everyone what they need to know about fantasy, but no, this is an absolutely electric trio. I'm very excited to get things underway. Let's just get right into it.
Let's get right into it. That is exactly what I want to hear. Now, I had the pleasure of being in a league with the Ryan Johnston, and it was not rough, I'm not going to lie. But he showed resilience. He was last for kind of a long time, but he was able to fight his way up off the bottom. So give yourself some credit, Ryan Johnston. You did what you had to do to not do the punishment, and you will be in the league next year because of it. So as you said, let's get right into it. Now, first, I want to talk about some fantasy sleepers, right? There are always players that get overlooked come draft day, or either go very late in the draft or don't get drafted at all, but have a chance to have a huge impact on your team. So, John, I'll start with you first. Tell me one player that you think that's being overlooked, has a low ADP that could really have a huge impact when the season rolls around.
You know, I took a look at a lot of teams, and one that really stuck out to me was the New York Jets. And I think the obvious one, if you just look at the New York Jets as a whole, you think Michael Carter, right? Backup running back, big receiving back, is going to get a lot of PPR points. He's going to be like, who remembers Theo Riddick around here? I kind of compare him to that. I know Louis does. But just a solid receiving back, a good backup running back to put in your PPR leagues. And he's also backing up a really great power back. So Michael Carter's going to get a lot of third down, maybe even slot looks at this point if Breece Hall has the season that he's going to have. And in the red zone, he could be a very solid receiving option as well. And, you know, you get that extra point per catch, so it's always a great time. And then even Breece Hall himself, right? I'm going with the entire New York Jets offense here for my sleepers.
Thank you, everyone. Let's go.
I'm not even a Jets fan, Louis. And I am,
so I'd love to hear it.
Exactly. Breece Hall, Iowa State legend, as an Oklahoma guy in terms of football, you know, I watched Breece Hall run over so many defenses in the Big 12. And he's going to make such an impact at the NFL level, and I'm so happy that he was drafted to a team that's going to put him in a position to succeed like the New York Jets. And then you look at Garrett Wilson, even, and he's just one of the best route runners that was in this draft already, next to his teammate Chris Olave. So, and just Zach Wilson is Zach Wilson, a guy that can have a really big boom season, and he can do a lot. He has the potential to throw for 30 plus touchdowns this year if his development goes on the right track. So just I'm making my pick Michael Carter, and I'm sticking with Michael Carter because I think he's going to have a very low draft position and have a big boom for that. But you have to also look at the entire New York Jet offense when you're thinking about your NFL draft, because, I mean, let's look at it. Who drafts Jets these days? Not a lot of people, but I think this year you should.
I don't know. I mean, I'm always a bit skeptical of the New York Jets, and I think that's because I've got a lot of friends who are Jets fans up at Seton Hall, and every year they hype up the Jets like they're going to do something great, like get 8 wins or something like that, and they always fall short by quite a bit. So I'm a bit more skeptical of the Jets players. I'm actually going to go with what some might consider a bit of a weird pick. When I first mentioned it to Louis, at least, I know that he was quite surprised. I'm going to go with Tua Tagovailoa. And I know that he has not been the most consistent quarterback for the Dolphins so far. But when you get Tyreek Hill, I think you automatically have to be in that conversation of an improved quarterback. He's got to jump up his numbers this year because he has arguably the best wide receiver in the league in his receiving core, and he still has Jalen Waddle to pair along with him. That is arguably a best 1-2 wide receiver duo in the league right now. He's also got a bit of improved offensive line. I mean, it's not spectacular or anything like that, but he should be getting a bit more time in the pocket. He won't have to rush quite as much. So I think that this is the year. I think this is a make or break year for Tua, really. I think that if he doesn't perform this year, the Dolphins need to move on. They need to trade or draft a new quarterback, because he's been with the team for a few years now, and it hasn't really panned out the way that they would hope. So I'm betting all my marbles on Tua Tagovailoa this year. He's not ranked very high in most drafts, and I think he could be a good sleeper pick in late rounds especially.
Well, to start with what Ryan said, I don't agree with it, but I respect you sticking your neck out for Tua. And with those kind of arguments and all the things you've brought to the table, yes, Tyreek Hill is that guy. Who knows? I might have written him off too early, but he very well could have a breakout season. And John, I mean, I was soaking that up when you were telling me that you draft Jets. I mean, the entire offense, I love to hear that. But me personally, as a Jets fan, I actually do tend to stay away from the Jets. For fantasy purposes, I usually do not have very many of them on my team. I don't know why. I just kind of
I wonder why that is.
Well, no. I mean, they could. Some of them are talented, Ryan Johnston. Okay, man. They don't always let me down. Usually they do, but not always. Okay.
Tua lets everybody down though.
Okay.
You know, he's gonna throw for. I'll give you a stat line right now: 18 touchdowns, 12 interceptions. Okay. It's going to be one of those seasons.
Wow.
Complete mediocrity. On the entire year? Oh, yeah, because they're going to trade for Jacoby Brissett, maybe. Who knows?
The Jets are going to trade for Jacoby
Brissett? No, he's talking about Tua.
No, Dolphins. I'm talking about Tua.
Oh. My apologies. I was extremely confused. Okay.
It's okay.
That is a scenario that's much more likely.
With how Tyreek Hill gaps cornerbacks, you think that he's got to at least cut down on the receptions a little bit, no? Just throw it deep Tyreek and it'll work out in the end, no?
Tyreek Hill catches 12 touchdowns, Gesicki catches 4, and then and Friends catches 2. You know, that's about it. Jalen Waddle's around, but I mean, what leap is he going to take, and how much will Tua's arm hold him back? That's the real question, because if you give that offense, you know, a quarterback that's good at football, I think that has the potential to be one of the best offenses in the entire league. So if Tua makes that jump, yes, he can have a great career. If Tua never had that hip injury and he was on the Dolphins, yes, this offense would be amazing. But give this offense – let's swap Zach Wilson in and see what happens.
But they don't need to have a great offense. They don't even need to have a great offense for him to be a decent fantasy quarterback. You know, what I'm looking for is upside. And I think Tua has a lot of upside. He's a late pick right now. And I think that if he can put things together just a little bit, I think that he could surprise a lot of people in terms of fantasy points.
You know, in terms of just value, he may go undrafted in a lot of leagues. So if you're able to just pick up Tua, I mean, in terms of value, yes. And if he has a solid year for you, that makes a lot of sense. I get the fantasy aspect. I just wouldn't expect him to be a top 10, not even top 15 fantasy quarterback. But if you're able to draft a team, maybe you just ditch quarterback altogether. You pick up Tua undrafted and you just build a team. That could work. You know what? I understand that perspective. I just don't think Tua is going to really do that great at all.
Well, you two guys have hashed that argument perfectly. I think you encompass both sides, the side for Tua and then the side against Tua. So I don't even want to touch on that because you guys knocked that out of the park. I don't even think I got to say my sleeper. I think you guys just derailed me and sidetracked me, trying to take over the show from me. But nevertheless, my sleeper. What?
At least say it. Okay, well,
I'm going to. It's Robert Tonyan. It's a guy who was injured last year. I had him on my roster until he got hurt. He obviously, because of that, it was early in the season. He didn't really have very good numbers. But if you look back to 2020, he had 52 receptions for 586 yards and 11 touchdowns. And now, looking forward into 2022, that Packers offense does not have Devontae Adams, so that is going to be a huge loss. Those targets have to go somewhere if Aaron Rodgers and company wants to stay competitive and win that division. So I think a lot of them could go to Robert Tonyan. We can see him having a bounce-back kind of year. They have Christian Watkins, which they drafted, but aside from that, their wide receiving core is looking very suspect with Alan Lazard, Randall Cobb, Sammy Watkins as the guys to go outside of beyond in addition to Christian Watkins. So I think Robert Tonyan is really going to have to step up if this team wants to have success, not only in their division, but also going forward into the playoffs and making a deep run, as I'm sure the two-time back-to-back MVP Aaron Rodgers would want them to do. So that was my sleeper pick. But now we're going to turn to the busts, to the guys who are overrated, the players who you guys think have way too high ADPs for what you suspect their production to be. Ryan Johnson, I'll start with you. Is there a guy in your mind that you think could have a really poor season compared to where he's being ranked right now?
All right. Hear me out. I'm going to go with Christian McCaffrey. Okay? Because ESPN
has... That's not ridiculous. That's not ridiculous to say that.
Thank you. Thank you. Because ESPN has him ranked at number two. And wasn't his last fully healthy season like 2019 or something like that? He suffered multiple major injuries. He barely played half the season last year, I think. I don't know. I just don't see him being a number two type guy. I think he's still easily a late first round, early second round pick. And if he stays healthy, he's basically the Panthers' only weapon. Like, let's be real here. No one's getting more touches than Christian McCaffrey. But I don't know. I don't think that I'm cautious. With his injury history, I'm cautious. Football running backs tend not to have the greatest longevity, especially guys that get injured a lot. We've seen that with someone like Saquon Barkley, who was on top of the world one season, and two seasons later, he's basically out of the NFL. So I'm cautious on Christian McCaffrey, to be sure. I hope that he can stay healthy, and if he does, he has a huge amount of upside, like RB1 upside. But I'm a bit worried about that injury history.
I completely agree with you on that front. Is my play a running back? Absolutely not. But I will say that is what makes me comfortable drafting Breece Hall, a player like that, maybe a bit higher, and skipping, and maybe not taking the guy that I'm about to say. But I got to go with A.J. Brown for my overrated player. Do I think A.J. Brown's going to have a good year? Yes. Has he justified an ADP of about 27? Absolutely not. He had a pretty mediocre season last year, dealt with some injuries, and who knows what's going to happen in Philly. It is Philly. And you look at the quarterback situation, Jalen Hurts is not better than Ryan Tannehill in terms of just being a pure passer. I mean, maybe you think Jalen Hurts is going to have a breakout year this year with A.J. Brown. Yes, that could happen, obviously. But I just don't see A.J. Brown having the consistency necessary to justify picking him in the third round of your draft, right? I value A.J. Brown in maybe the fifth to sixth round range, but I just don't see a scenario where you just value A.J. Brown that high, right? So it depends on where your draft position is. It depends on what kind of league, what kind of strategy you're working with. But if you're loading up on receiver, A.J. Brown could be a very good boom candidate. He could have a really good year, and I could be entirely wrong. And a lot of the times I am, so maybe you want to do the opposite of what I say. But I just think A.J. Brown, considering his injury history, considering the inconsistencies that he's had over the past few years, I have to put A.J. Brown as a bit overrated, and I think that there's been a lot of positive buzz, and I don't think he's earned it just yet.
Well, the Eagles situation, when I look at it, is really interesting because it's kind of similar to the Miami Dolphins situation, where you have the fan base torn and analysts as well if Jalen Hurts is that guy. Now, I think he's a little bit better than Tua Tagovailoa is, and I also think he could develop into that guy, but not everybody thinks that. So you have a situation where you have a young developing quarterback, absolute weapons on the outside, but who knows if they're going to come to use if the quarterback cannot get the ball to them. We see that in both situations. So I kind of agree with you. I'm a little hesitant to draft him. Plus, with Devonta Smith stealing targets, stealing receptions, stealing touchdowns away from A.J. Brown, we could see a little bit of a tricky situation when it comes to fantasy. With what you said, Ryan, in terms of McCaffrey, I agree. If dude stays healthy, he's the best running back in the league. Well, most versatile running back in the league, and will put up the most fantasy points for sure. However, with his history of injuries, I personally will be staying away from him. I agree with you. If I draft in the top five, I will not be picking Christian McCaffrey. I can tell you that for a fact. Now, for me, I'm going to go with a running back who plays for the Dallas Cowboys, and it's Zeke. Ezekiel Elliott has seen declining production every single year since he was a rookie. And now with the emergence of Tony Pollard, who I am extremely high on, I think we could see his touches be lost to the backup Tony Pollard, as well as if he continues on this downward slope, then it's not really going to bode well for Zeke, as that's obviously not something you want to see a running back do as he keeps getting older and older. So I genuinely think that Ezekiel Elliott, who's projected to be drafted in the late second round, early third round, we could see a, you know, a tailspin of his production if Tony Pollard ends up beating him out for that job. He might not even be the starting running back come the end of the season. So I think that you have to be careful in drafting Zeke. Do your research. If you're a Cowboys fan, sure, go for it. But again, I'm a little wary of drafting Ezekiel Elliott this year. But now we're going to transition into some draft strategy, right? Every league is different. I have different rules, different punishments. But there are a few things that stay the same when it comes to draft day. Usually drafting running backs first, wait on a quarterback, defense in the very last round. But in recent years, we've seen these trends kind of change, become less traditional and more unorthodox. So is there any strategy overall that you guys would like to employ when it comes draft day? For the sake of argument, I guess we'll just talk about a 12-man league with PPR scoring. Ryan, I'll start with you. Anything you got for me in terms of strategy?
Yo, I'm going to keep it very real with you guys right now. There is a good reason I finished third to last in the league last year. All right. My strategy is basically draft the best available guy. All right. Just look for needs in the team. You know, I typically start with a running back or wide receiver. Typically a running back. One of my friends drafted two wide receivers last year in his first two picks, and it didn't end up going well for him. So, sorry, Christian. But, yeah, poor guy. But no, I don't really have any insight on this, to be honest. Yeah, I'm sorry, fellas. I'm letting you down on this one, but it's just kind of touch and go for me, to be honest with you.
You know what? Because Ryan, that, you know, I understand drafting is hard. Okay, it's a very complicated process, and a lot can go wrong. So yeah. What I'm about to do is give you a very ridiculous strategy. Okay. I know the strategy is usually running back, just you load up on running backs. This year specifically, I'm saying I am on the anti running back agenda. Wow. I don't need to draft running backs high on my team because Brian, I mean, you gave me one earlier, right? Maybe you have a Tyreek Hill in that offense, but I will say I value Cooper Kupp in the top three. If I'm in the top three, I may have to pick up. He's up there. It's what? Oh. Derrick Henry? Derrick Henry's my number one player. Dalvin Cook.
Okay, I like Dalvin.
I'm missing a guy in there.
Where's Jonathan Taylor
at three? I mean, it's debatable.
Hold on. You're like five players in your top three now, John.
No.
What's going on?
Derrick Henry. I was saying Derrick Henry before, but I don't know how that foot is going to hold up. I genuinely don't know. Jonathan Taylor is my number one player, right? 100%. Colts bias, I'll accept that, right? But when it comes to Derrick Henry, I don't know what's going on with that foot. Either way, Cooper Kupp is that guy. Okay, whatever. I'm more comfortable drafting Cooper Kupp than any players in really that top. I mean, obviously, if I have the number one pick, I'm probably going to pick Henry because that's just what you do. But Cooper Kupp is just very valued to me. And even, again, you look at guys like Tyreek Hill. I usually would value Hopkins in the top 12, but, you know, suspensions happen. But if I can load up on receiver early in the draft, and I think a lot of people are forgetting Michael Thomas exists, so I think I'm going to be able to get a steal on him. And then you look at Tony Pollard, you look at Michael Carter, you look at Breece Hall. There's a lot of running backs out there that you can get for really good value and have a really solid receiving core on the other end. And if I also can get a really, you know, a top five tight end, a Kelsey, a Kittle, a Mark Andrews, I don't need to worry about having the best running back in the league who might get injured five games into the season, Christian McCaffrey. So I'm going to go wide receivers first off my board, especially if I have that back-to-back pick. I want two of those top receivers. And then running backs, I'll figure it out from there. Quarterback, I also don't worry about because I know that Matt Ryan has my back.
Okay, I like how you ended that one. I agree. I think Matt Ryan has gotten a lot of flack recently. It's unwarranted. Now that he's on the Colts, I think he's going to do really well. However, what I will say, that is extremely mind-blowing that you just said that because for me, I'm exactly the opposite, right? I am running back first. I'll figure out receivers, right? I'll trade for them. I'll find them on the waiver wire. I don't know. I'll do what I have to do to get good receivers on the squad, right? But with you saying that about Cooper Kupp, that actually blew me totally away. I was not expecting that. I don't know. Will he have a good fantasy season? Yes. Is he a good player? Yes. Will he replicate the production from last year? No, for the sole purpose that it was like the one of the greatest receiving seasons of all time, right? And I don't think he's going to have that kind of production. Will he have games this year where he balls out?
Why not?
Because I don't think it's going to happen again. I don't think
he doesn't strike twice.
I mean, it was the greatest season. It was one of the greatest seasons ever for a reason. Well, yeah, well, I think he'll take a step back. I don't think he'll be that close.
I mean, it's impossible not to take a step back from the second best receiving season of all time.
That's what that's my point exactly, right? Is that he had the best or the second best, whatever. That debate is for another show. Season of all time, there's just okay, first off, statistically, I doubt that he will, right? If you want to, like, I don't think it'll happen, right? Like, those kind of seasons only come around every once in a while, right? And they don't happen very often, right? But then also, I think that defenses will do a better job of stopping him because they realize, oh, this dude's pretty good. Maybe we should, I don't know, shift the coverage or double him or make sure we jam him so he doesn't get out into the open. Like, whatever they have to do to try and stop this guy, I genuinely do not think he will have the same production. Now, I know the point of, oh, he just has to be close to be a good fantasy receiver. Yeah, sure, I agree. Draft him like in the later portion of the first round, but I personally would not draft him in my top three. A high pick, yeah, sure, but don't expect the same production. And I don't know. I don't know about you guys, the listeners out there, but I personally would not draft him in the top three. So I guess that's still up for debate. But like I said before, John had talked about the receivers and how you'll figure out a running back later. I am the opposite. Like I said, I usually go running backs. I like to get my guys. If I draft in the first five picks, I'm almost certainly going to go running back. So that is just my philosophy when it comes to drafting. But again, philosophies can change and differ. So like we said, who knows? If we were in a league, John McCooch, we might have different philosophies and beat each other in the finals and that championship game. And guess what? That means it both worked. So it is really up to the player. It's up to the draftee, whoever is doing the work then. They can do whatever they see fit. Now, I would like to get into a little bit more in depth in drafting, right? So I want to go through the first round. Yeah, you never know where you're going to pick. Some leagues have it differently where you get to pick your draft position. Other leagues, it's randomized. So I want to ask you first, John, because I'm now intrigued to see what you're going to say for this, actually, more than I was before this, because I did not know that that's what your philosophy was, right? So go through the entire first round. We'll use a 12-team league as an example. I want to hear the position of the guy you'd pick for each pick, right? So pick number one, who are you going with? Pick number two, who are you going with? Not really the guy specifically, but more of the position group in which you'd take him. So John, the floor is yours. I want to hear what you have to say.
You know, this is a very interesting question, one that I may have needed to think about a little bit more before answering, but I will do my best to answer within this capability. So number one, I feel like regardless of everything that I just said, I think you have to still go with running back because you have a Dalvin Cook, you have a Derrick Henry. You've got a lot going on there. Number two, I think it's also the same thing. You still go running back. You still go with the best available running back. Number three is where it gets a little interesting because it depends who's picked before. If Jonathan Taylor is there, I'm taking Jonathan Taylor. But again, like I've said, if it comes between Derrick Henry and Cooper Kupp, I'm at least having a debate. So three, I'm going to stick running back. I'm going to kind of back up a little bit. Four, receiver. Five, receiver. Six, receiver. Seven, I mean, just kind of receiver all the way through 10. But it also depends on what gets drafted around me, right? If the best receiver gets taken, I'm forced to take a running back. If the best running back gets taken, I'm forced to take a receiver. I don't have a quarterback anywhere in the first round. I don't like taking quarterbacks until about the sixth, seventh round because, again, Matt Ryan has my back. And at 12, I at the very least consider taking Travis Kelce because, again, it depends what happens around me. So to kind of give you a final, okay, we're going to go 1 through 3 running back. We're going to go 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. 10 receiver, maybe running back mixed in there somewhere there, and then 11 I'm gonna go receiver, 12 we're gonna go tight end just to keep things fresh and funky.
I like that. I like the alliteration. Yeah. Right there. I'm gonna mention like some players. Like John, you said number one Jonathan Taylor. I think after the season that he had last year, like when you have like a transcendent season like that in fantasy, you basically have to pick him first, no matter what. And then following that up, I'm going to go with either Derrick Henry or I like Austin Eckler a lot. I think he should be a high first round pick just because of the dual threat that he is. He's also such a good receiver as well as he is good on the ground. And following that up, I've got two wide receivers back to back. I've got Cooper Kupp and I've got Jay Jets. You know, you can call me biased if you want, Louis, because Jay Jets literally saved my team last year. I would not be in the position that I'm in today if it was not for Justin Jefferson. Those back-to-back 35-point weeks that he had, they really saved my skin there. So, yeah, Cooper Kupp, Jay Jets back-to-back, and then I've got Najee. You know, the Steelers really don't have a good O-line this year, but they didn't really have a good one last year, and he still put up very, very good numbers. So Najee is kind of a consistent guy in my eyes. I think he's going to be pretty good no matter what. Following that up, I've got a couple of Bengals. You know, Ja'Marr Chase, Joe Mixon, two guys that are going to receive a lot of touches, basically the centerpieces of that high-powered Bengals offense with Joe Burrow. And then after that, you've got Davante Adams. So I've got a few wide receivers in here too. Davante Adams, you know, with the Raiders now. That's going to be a pretty good offense. You know, Josh Jacobs, Hunter Renfrow, and Davante Adams. That's a good three wide receiver tandem and a running back to pair along with it. So I think they're going to be pretty good. And then at 10, like we were talking about, I've got Christian McCaffrey. Yes, high upside. Like you said, Louis, I think he's a late first round, early second round pick. The injuries just scare me away, like we were talking about before. And then at 11, we've got Deebo Samuel, who might be a little bit higher than some people have him at. I know that he's still requested a trade from the 49ers. He hasn't rescinded that trade request, but he was so good last year. Some have cited that he had the most points above expectation last year. Maybe the expectations were just set too low because basically the entire offense is centered around him right now. So I think that Deebo Samuel is going to have another great year. And then finally, rounding out the first round, I've got Javonte Williams. I'm a big Javonte Williams guy. He was very solid last year. He's going to have to split touches with Melvin Gordon again, but he's projected to be the starter. So I think he's going to have a good year. I think he's in for a good one.
So you would rather have Javonte Williams than Travis Kelce on your team? That's what you just said.
Yo, why are you coming at me right now? I don't like this.
I'm just putting it out.
I don't like this hostility.
I apologize.
Mark Andrews was great for me last year. You know, I think I can get a great tight end in the later rounds as well. I don't think I need Travis Kelce per se.
Yeah, I think this Boomer class Center, of tight it. Ends, he is generational. You're right, John. But I think this class of tight ends is one of the deepest that we've seen in a really, really long time. So if you're going to wait on a tight end, I think this is the year to do it. I mean, you could get crazy production from Pat Freiermuth and Dawson Knox, who are ranked right around that 8, 9, 10 range. And that's going to be in rounds 4 and 5, 6 even. So I think if you wait on a tight end this year, this is one of the few years where that could actually prevail and be a good strategy to do.
Mark Andrews has been my favorite tight end to draft. I at least try to get him at least one league. You know, I watched him score a lot of touchdowns in Crimson and Cream at Oklahoma. So watching him score a lot in Purple and Black has been pretty fun as well. So there's always those tight ends that you get in those middle rounds, those deeper rounds. Again, Pat Freiermuth, what a deep cut right there. What a legend for the Big Ten. There's a lot of guys out there that you can get, and those red zone guys as well. No Gronk this year. It's going to be a weird one. I understand. But I think, yeah, that's a good point, though. Drafting tight ends deep into these rounds, it's a really important play to make.
I like Mark Andrews especially this year because of how limited the Ravens really are on offense. Like, it feels like Lamar is going to have to turn to Mark Andrews every time he wants to make a pass, to be honest with you. I mean, who does he have in his receiving corps? Like Rashad Bateman, is it? Like, is that his wide receiver one?
Yeah, I believe so.
So Andrews is going to be getting a lot of touches. I mean, I would look to draft him pretty high if you're going to draft a tight end high, to be honest.
Yeah, right now I'm looking at the Ravens depth charts. And it's looking like it's Rashad Bateman, Devin Duvernay, and James Porsche. So I think you're right. I think it's going to be Mark Andrews stepping up if the Ravens want to do good and they want to really succeed in the NFL. kind of like Robert Tonyan and the Packers, right? I mean, the receiving core is young and inexperienced, so Robert Tonyan is going to have to step up. Obviously, Mark Andrews is a fantastic player. I shouldn't even have to – I misspoke when I said he has to step up. He just has to continue his normal production because dude is really good. Dude will play well for years to come. Who knows? However long he's in the NFL. Yeah, top three tight end or top five tight end year in and year out. So I agree. I think we'll keep doing what he's doing. Now, for me, with my strategy, it's a little bit different than you boys. I think 1 through 4 for me has to be running back. If I draft 4, I'm going to draft the 4th best running back, assuming that the first 3 picks are RBs. And then after that, I think I'm going to consider a wide receiver. So because then you can get the best wide receiver available, whoever you think it is, Stephon Diggs, Cooper Kupp, DeAndre Hopkins, if he comes back from injury and is completely healthy with a good Kyler Murray throwing him the football, then I would consider wide receiver because it would be the best wide receiver available, whoever it is in your mind. So that's my 5 and 6 position if I were to draft in that range. And then I think towards the end of the first round, that's when I would heavily consider a wide receiver, especially if the first 6 picks are running backs. Then in that case, I would actually draft a wide receiver. That's the 7 through 10 range. Maybe one wide receiver is drafted in the top 6, then you can get the 2nd or 3rd best wide receiver in that 7 to 10 range. So if I drafted there, I think I would unfortunately have to take a wide receiver, despite me wanting to take another running back, or a running back, I should say. And then in that 11 to 12 range is where I started to differ, right? Last year I was in a league, I was in a 14-man league. I picked 13th. So I had the 13th pick and then I had the 16th pick. And I went my first round pick at 13 overall. I broke a rule that I've had since I began playing fantasy when I was like 12. Well, maybe not that young, but like 14 was do not draft a quarterback early. I drafted Pat Mahomes and it worked. I made it to the finals. Ryan Johnson can attest. Unfortunately, I lost though. We don't have to talk about that. That's a different story. But nevertheless, drafting a quarterback high worked, and I was unsure if it would have. So now I know that it does work. I will be more inclined to do that if I have those later picks in the first round, because not only does it work, you're going to pick again in 2 or 3 picks only. So if you draft the quarterback, there won't be that many picks before you can get the position group that you want. If you wanted to draft wide receiver at 12, say, that's a different story, because at 12, then you draft again at 13, so it truly doesn't matter. But at 11, say, if you pick a quarterback at 11, you only got to wait 2 more picks to get the next best available guy on the board that you wanted. So, yes, there's a chance that your guy is gone in those 2 picks, but there's also a high chance that he isn't. So the fact that you pick again really, really soon after picking 11th, I think that it makes it a viable option to pick a quarterback or a tight end even for that matter. I mean, again, not this year with the depth that we had talked about with tight ends, but it does make sense to pick an unorthodox pick as quarterback or tight end with that 11th pick, considering that you can get the player or position group that you wanted just in 2 picks after that. So I feel very strongly about that. I mean, you guys heard the emotion in my voice just peeking about that right now. And like I said, it was a rule for me. I always waited very late, and I would always get Russell Wilson late, or I would get like Matt Ryan back when he was on the Falcons in one of those later rounds. But I think that has completely changed for me, and I probably shouldn't have told Ryan Johnson that, because now he knows my strategy for this year. But nevertheless,
I think you should draft Tua in the late first round. I think that'd be a great move for you.
I'm actually gonna trade
for, how about picks, defense?
Ooh, that's not bad. I was gonna trade for the first overall pick and take Zach Wilson. I think that's a valuable thing.
Yo,
don't give
our friend Bracton any ideas.
That's true. Okay. If he's right, listening, right. He might actually try to do that. So I probably shouldn't say that.
I'm gonna pick Chicago Bear defense at 1. If I get that pick, just so you know.
I'm thinking New York Jets defense, like Zach Wilson, and then I'll trade back into the first round and get the Jets defense. I think that's a.
I don't know, man. I'm leaning towards a kicker personally. I think I should go kicker first round.
Oh, Justin Tucker. Oh, man.
I mean, would that be a bad pick? Let's discuss. Would that really be a bad pick?
In the first round, no. In, like, the 7th round, maybe.
Right. You need to pick where Drew Blankenship is at.
Yeah. Because if, like, Justin Tucker scores so many points, he's ranked, like, 15th among wide receivers or something crazy. So, like, something you would never suspect. So maybe not that high, but it's extremely high. I don't have the numbers in front of me. I'd have to look it up. But no, I'm telling you, it's extremely high. The highest rated kickers score so many fantasy points that it's almost like having, you know, a flex on your team.
That's big time right there.
Yeah, that's news to me. I had absolutely no idea.
Can I switch my 12 to kicker?
Yes, absolutely. Why not?
Done. fucking fresh.
You can only do this if you're an experienced fantasy owner. If you are a beginner, please do not listen to these advice. Do not draft a defense or a kicker in the first round. That will not help you at all. Go with the normal running back, tight end, or wide receiver. But if you want to get a little spicy and change things up, then sure, go ahead. Draft a kicker if you want to. If that's what your heart desires, then might as well do it, right? But before we end, I just want to touch on defense for a little bit. We don't have very much time left, so let's give the defenses some love. I mean, they usually don't get love. They usually get drafted in the last round or second to last round. So let's talk defense for a little bit. Who do you guys think the best defense could be this year? John, I'll start with you.
What's funny about defense is that there is no possible way that you can predict who the best defense will be that week. It is solely matchup based. That, I mean, not solely, right? Because there was that one year where Miami defense was one of the best players in the entire league for like 7 weeks. So it's impossible to predict. The advice that I'm going to give you is pick the defense of your favorite team, because you know that team. It's unless if your favorite team is like the Cleveland Browns or something, they've had some struggles on defense. Or if you know your team is a bad defense, obviously don't pick it. Don't pick the Chicago Bears and don't pick the New York Jets. But genuinely, I think, you know, you look at the Los Angeles Rams, I feel like that's an easy pick to make right there. They add in Bobby Wagner, Jalen Ramsey. I mean, that defense, it's the best defense in the league, arguably. So that's kind of where my gut instinct lands. But you also want to kind of go with a team that doesn't really score a lot of points. And you know what? Just to make sure that I stay true to my guns and I stick true to what I've been saying, I don't think that the Miami Dolphins are going to score a lot of points. I think their offense is going to be slow, which means that their defense is going to have a lot of opportunities to score some points. So I'm going to think that Miami's defense finds a way to do it again and go on another crazy bull run, unlike the current stock market. So we're going to go with Miami, because why not? It's Miami.
You know, I'm just going to go ahead and say, don't listen to John. Don't pick your favorite team. I don't think that's a very good strategy. Just go with the best defense available, really. And I'm looking at a team like the Buccaneers right now. Very, very talented on defense. You know, Akeem Hicks, Vita Vea. You got guys like Shaquille Barrett, Logan Ryan, and free safety. And not only that, but they have one of the easiest schedules in the league as well. I think their schedule is ranked something like top 10 easiest schedules in the league. So I think that's a perfect combination right there. You know, a good defense playing bad teams tends to do pretty well. So that's a defense that I'm looking at. But the Rams are definitely a good pick as well. Miami's going to score a lot of points with Tua Tagovailoa, so I don't know if that one's as good, but I think the Buccaneers is certainly a safe bet on defense.
Yeah, I think I'm leaning more towards Ryan here. I only think picking your favorite team's defense is good if your favorite team's defense is in like the top 15 of the NFL. In that case, sure. I mean, it's a top 15 defense. You might as well. But if you're someone like me who likes the Jets, now I don't know if that's the best option. Now, do I think the Jets would have a top 15 defense in the NFL? Yes. However, that was just an example. Like the Lions, per se, they don't have too good of a defense. So, or, you know, insert team here that has a sub top 15 defense. I don't know if I'd want to do that. But for me personally, I think I'm going to go with the Cowboys. They have a lot of young talent. They had a really good defensive year last year. And then they had a pretty decent draft as well on the defensive side of the ball. So I think they have a lot of room to grow. So if you're looking for a team to draft and it's the last round, you might want to think about the Cowboys. Now, I'm going to go a little bit extra and say a team you might want to stay away from, and that is the Kansas City Chiefs. They lost a few players. They lost Tyrann Mathieu, and I believe they lost a key defensive tackle. His name is escaping me right now. But nevertheless, if you look up their schedule, it's one of the hardest ever. They play all of the division winners. They also are in one of the hardest divisions in the NFL. And then their like random games that the NFL has picked for them is the Titans and the Bills. So they have an extremely challenging schedule. They lost a bunch of key pieces. I think that their defense could be a really big struggling point of that entire team. And then also that'll translate to fantasy, because they're going to be giving up a bunch of yards, a bunch of touchdowns, a bunch of field goals, all the above. So good Dallas, bad Chiefs. to put it in a nutshell. But that will do it for this episode of Icing the Ticker. Is there anything else that you boys would like to say before we close for good?
Yeah, I was kidding about the whole draft your favorite team on defense. I was half serious, but yeah, draft Buffalo, actually. I like what they've added. They get a lot of key players back. They're going to score a lot of points, yes, but I think that they'll have opportunities to get a lot of sacks and make sure that you actually get a contribution. So Bills and Rams are up on my list. Please do not take my advice for about half the things I said, but especially not the, you know, drafting your favorite team on defense, unless if your favorite team is, you know, a good defensive team. But to all my Lions fans out there, oh my God, do not draft your defense.
And that's what I was going to say, was I think your take was half correct in the sense that, again, if the defense that you, or the team that you like is a good defense, then sure, why not? It might be not be the best available, best on the board. It might not really make the most sense. But hey, I mean, you're going to be rooting for your team anyway. You might as well have them on fantasy and root for the defense as a whole. So I'll give you some credit there. It wasn't totally BS. I was able to spin it to have a good spin on it. So we'll say that you got it half right. Good job.
I'll take it. Yeah, that's what I do, you know?
Yeah, I was just going to say, don't take any of my advice, really.
No, give yourself some credit, Ryan.
All right. I mean, yeah, like, yeah, sure. I play fantasy. Yeah, no, I have some ethos there. But, you know, I'm also just trying not to give away my whole draft strategy to Lewis over here. So, I don't know. I mean, I'm excited for the fantasy season coming up. I think it's going to be a fun one. All right, what'd you say, John? Let's get fresh and funky. Was that it?
I think did I say funky and fresh or fresh? Funky I think it's said funky and fresh.
Let's get funky and better. Fresh, fellas. Let's have a good fantasy season this year.
I agree. So I think we can all agree on that. My advice is the best, and you should all listen to me and what I say. That would make me very happy. But jokes aside, that will do it for this edition of Icing the Ticker. For my awesome panel, who I've got to joke with and have fun with today, Ryan Johnson and John McClooch, I am Louis Pasquale. For our producer, Joe Matthews, make sure to keep listening and tuning in to WSCU for all the fantasy news you need to know. We will catch you next time.